28. Aaron. General Aaron Hyrie walked quickly up the six steps leading into the entrance to his apartment in the posh A district of Praetin's Dome 1. It was the wealthiest area on the planet, inhabited by the most influential people on Proxima. While the government district and the starship Dove was the seat of the Proxima Civilian Council, here was where the money and power, both legally and not quite legally acquired, intersected. It was where all of the real deals and decisions were made, both in back-alley whispers and in the fancy eateries, vice houses, and clubs. His apartment wasn't in the fanciest of the blocks. That one was three strands down and featured personal valets for every resident. He had to settle for a doorman and a shared concierge, though the man rushed over to him the minute he spotted Aaron entering. "General Hyrie," the concierge said. "Welcome home."
"Hobart," Aaron said. "How's your wife?"
"She's great, General," Hobart replied, walking with Aaron to the lift.
"Kids are good?"
"Yes, sir. Shani has a dance recital tonight. We're all excited for her."
"Make sure to tell her to break a leg for me."
"Of course, General." Aaron didn't break stride as he made small talk with the concierge. He was known for his kindness to the help, but it wasn't all out of the goodness of his heart. The help often knew things other people didn't, and he was a master at extracting information.
"Has anyone asked for me today?"
"No, General."
"No one has gone up to my apartment?"
If Adjudicus had beaten him home, it meant two things. One, they would threaten the staff to keep quiet about their presence. Two, they knew what had happened too quickly for it to have gone through the proper channels, which meant they were in on the assassination. It had taken nearly an hour for him to file the proper report, make a statement to law enforcement, and get the hell out of the government district. He was too known a quantity for anyone to question anything he said, so there was no trouble with that. But the council meeting had been canceled, and the media was last seen swarming the area in search of the story. He had barely cleared the curb of the council building before the crews had come running up, forced to make the trip from outside the area through public channels, which meant mostly on foot. He thought maybe someone would have come to interview him, eager to hear his side of the assassination story. But he knew too well how these things worked on Proxima. The media would get 50% accurate information. They would push for more, but it was more symbolic than anything. The council and the military were accustomed to withholding information, to the extent that they kept more intel classified than remotely necessary. Starting with the whitewashing of the truth behind the generation ship's arrivals on the planet, the powers that be had become habituated to manipulation and distraction in the name of public safety.
"No, General," Hobart said. "It's been a regular day out here. I heard there was some trouble in G-Dict."
"That's an understatement. Chairman Lamont was assassinated."
Hobart's face paled.
"What?"
"Adjudicus murdered him. It'll be on the news soon enough if it isn't already."
"The whole planet's going to be in chaos."
"I wouldn't go that far. Co-chair Curio has already assumed responsibilities, though all council sessions were canceled today. That's why I'm home early."
Hobart smiled. "It is early for you, General." They reached the lifts, and Aaron swiped his wrist over the pad to call an express.
"I have some paperwork to pick up before I head to the base," Aaron replied. "I'll be out again in 10 minutes or so. You don't need to follow me when I come back. I don't need anything."
"Yes, sir," Hobart said, smiling widely.
Aaron held up his wrist. The other man did the same. A quick motion sent a tip from Aaron's account to the concierge. The lift door opened and Aaron stepped in.
"Thank you, General," Hobart said.
"Good day, Hobart."
The lift door closed. The cab started to ascend. Aaron withdrew his oracle from his coat pocket and slipped it on, activating the display. He used it to request a link to a comm terminal in an apartment in Dome 9. He disconnected at the moment it connected, well before the feed was open and before it could be logged. He just needed to know the line was still active. He repeated the process 3 more times, all with the same results. The organization was still intact. That was good. Love's efforts to take him out of the game hadn't progressed too far yet, which meant he had a little more time. Time to do what?
The organization was compromised. He understood that much. Relia operatives were active on Proxima, and while their objectives were still a little fuzzy to him, he guessed their primary desire was to keep anyone from putting up any sort of fight against the incoming warship. But that didn't make sense. Nothing the Centurions possessed could stop the vessel. It was moving way too fast for them to target. Hell, it was moving so fast it would be little more than a blink across the sky, long gone by the time any light emanating from it even reached Proxima B. So why stop him from telling the Council about the incoming invasion of Earth? Why prevent him from revealing the truth of things? How was keeping things secret going to help their cause? The hunger needed fear to survive. Exposing their existence to the population would fill that need. Only they weren't prepared for that fear yet. It would only serve the Relia already on the planet, and Aaron doubted there could be too many of them here yet. It would be like putting a steak out for dinner 3 hours before the restaurant opened, leaving it cold and slightly spoiled for the diner. Edible, but not the least bit satisfying. It was a reason, but Aaron couldn't believe it was the only one. Someone had gone to great lengths to kill Isaac Pine before Aaron could get him back to Earth. Someone had tried very hard to thwart the organization's efforts. Did the enemy even know what the purpose of the effort was? Or were they simply trying to blockade whatever moves the organization made, assuming they ran counter to their objectives? It didn't matter either way. Someone was acting against the organization, and thanks to Judicus Love, he had a better general idea of who. But not specifically who. The Koran would have a puppet master pulling their strings, someone sending them orders. But those orders didn't need to come from the planet. They could originate in Relia homespace for all he knew. The collective made instant communication across infinite distances possible. But he still had a feeling there was a ringleader on Proxima, someone orchestrating the movements and watching more directly. Keeping Aaron from acting would take a more personal touch. First things first. He had sent Kieran and the boys packing on a shuttle to the spaceport where they would take a transport to the Ring Station, a trust-run resort sitting in the middle of a gaseous nebula, the closest thing they had to an ocean view. The kids could play in the Nexus while his wife got a massage or three. The cab doors opened, the lift taking Aaron directly to his apartment, which occupied half of the 18th floor of the 40-story block. The smell of death hit him like a piston to the chest. He immediately grabbed the micro-spear from his coat pocket as his heart began to race.